up. Earth City, stand up, stand up, stand up. Oh, not everybody. I guess everybody stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. I have good news. Y'all, we have this big opportunity tonight. Have you ever been to a movie premiere? I've been to like one. And tonight we are having a legit movie premiere right here at Faith Church. Y'all remember Frasier? Toss salad and scrambled eggs. That guy? Like, he is starring in this movie. And the Irwin brothers are producing it. Andy Irwin's going to be in the house, you guys. It is red carpet, the whole deal. And you're invited. The tickets are kind of expensive. They're free $99. They're free. But the only way to get in is to get your phone out right now. Do it real fast. Hurry. Grab your phone. Grab your phone. Grab your phone. Open up the picture app. Zoom it in. Click that QR code. If you don't have a seat, you can't get in. The seats are going to go fast. So get your seats now. Reserve your seats right now. If you're like, oh, my mom and my cousin are coming, reserve them a seat real quick. Because when we're out of seats, you can't pull that, hey, yo, PN's my friend. She's going to get me in. I'm going to be like, we're out of seats. I'm sorry. I wanted to. But you had to get your ticket. The tickets are free. Make sure you're here 7 o'clock tonight. The movie is Jesus Revolution. It is going to move your heart. It's going to thrill you. And it's free. Everybody say free. So just wear what you got on to the movie premiere. It's going to be great. And I'll see you there at 7 o'clock tonight. Turn to somebody and say, I'll see you there. And you guys can be seated. We are doing this Psalm 23 series, and they told me, hey, Pastor Nicole wants you to preach on peace. And I kind of looked behind me like, is there another Pastor Nicole? Because I wasn't sure that was me. Exactly. Can I get a better amen corner? Hey, baby, how you doing? That's what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah, when they picked you, PN, it was bad. And I'm like, y'all, think, you guys know that song, you make me crazy, you make me crazy. Somebody told me the other day, it's like, hey, man, this is making me crazy. I'm like, I know, I'm driving crazy. And Siri popped up, and it's like, yeah, drive is only 2 minutes. And I know it's like taking a long walk off a short pier for a lot of us to lose our cool, lose our peace and all that. And I was reading this thing about this guy, and he took his wife to the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir, your wife has completely lost her mind. And the husband said, oh, I think I know how that happened. And the doctor said, well, how did that happen, sir? He said, well, over 25 years, she gave her mind to me one piece at a time, and I think she's all out of pieces. Okay, that was kind of a husband-wife thing. So let's do it the other way. There's this doctor's office, and they were there, and the doctor was talking to the patient's husband, and he's like, sir, your wife, she needs absolute peace and quiet, so I'm giving you these sleeping pills. And he said, great, when do I give them to my wife? He said, sir, these pills are not for your wife. These pills are for you. There's more than one way to get peace and quiet in the house. You know what I'm talking about? So the title of this message for my note takers is, how do you get peace before you go to pieces? And as we're leaning into Psalm 23, I was thinking, I feel this pressure to like preach something like very structured, narrow-minded, poetic, beautiful. But I had this feeling, if you're like me, it would be good and great, and it would just go like this, and it would pet you, and then you would get out to the car, and the kids would be hungry. You would be hangry. Somebody would spill something. Somebody else would cut you off in traffic, and before you left the church parking lot, you would be, y'all shut up until I get something to eat. Is anybody else been there? So instead, I'm just going to be real, raw, organic, and you're going to go home with 4 points to help you lead a more peaceful life. Does that work for you? Yes. So let's jump into Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I'm just going to give you a little glimpse in the way that I particularly read the Bible. The way I read the Bible is I kind of like to start turning over the rocks. And so it started out with the Lord is my shepherd. And so I'm about to give you a pop quiz. All campuses, I want you to answer out loud. If you're in Ferguson, Florissant, if you're at Earth City, if you're wherever you're at right now, I want you to just say it out loud. If Jesus is a shepherd, what does that make us? Very good. We're sheep. So if we are sheep, how many of you don't know that much about sheep? I don't. The most thing I want to know right now is this very loud vocal sheep going to bite me? Most thing I want to know. He just sniffed my fingers like, if they're tasty. So what is a sheep? Sheep are fearful. Sheep are anxious. Sheep are stressed out. Sheep are easy to freak out. I just want to know how many people am I describing right now? What does it take to stampede a flock of sheep? Does it take a big old wolf? No, it takes a rabbit. If the right rabbit comes along, the whole flock of sheep is just going to take off. They're going to turn around. They're going to start freaking out. So if we are sheep and we are so easily thrown off and jilted and tilted that we can be fine on our way home from work until some guy throws us one random finger and cuts us off in traffic, and then whoa, the horns grow, the tail comes out, the pitchfork comes out, and you're ready to tell no, that's not you. Y'all holy over here. Let me tell these people. I just need to know, like, are y'all real over here? But first of all, are y'all real? Has this ever happened to you? Just amen me. Thank you. They were getting holy over here for a minute, okay? Made me nervous. So let's go to the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And it made me think about God as like, he in heaven like, hey, yo, you don't lay down in the green pastures? I'm going to saw off your legs. I'm going to make you lay down. How many of you don't think that's God? I don't think that's God. I think it's more like me trying to make a 2-year-old Ashton take a nap. So our grandson Liam, he is super cute. Oh my gosh. And so sweet. And when you tell him, hey, do you want to go to bed? He goes, oh, night-night, night-night, night-night. I mean, he's well on his little way, crawls up in his crib, wants his hottie and his baba, and he's out. Ashton, when she was 2, she learned how to spell nap. Because you couldn't say bed. You couldn't say night-night. You couldn't even say nap. We would say, I think she needs to take an NAP. And she would go, I don't want to take an NAP. So I would make her. I would say, baby, come here. Let mama hold you for a minute. I just want a hug. Come here, lay down on my pillow next to me. I'll put my arm under her and pull her left arm in. And then I would take my leg and I would throw it over her legs and hold her legs in. And then I would take my right arm over her right arm and just make a little human taco and say, oh, let mama hug you for a minute. Let's just hug you, sing you a little song. 2 minutes of being still, she was crashed out. She got what she needed. You see, the Lord wants to make us, but he's not going to make us do anything. He's a gentleman. We have to choose. Matter of fact, point number one is let peace. Let. What does that mean? Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace. God has this whole thing for me in the word let. Every time I see the word let in the Bible, God told me, you have to write the word allow. Allow me, Nicole, when you need a nap and you need to stop stressing out, allow me to give you some of my peace. The problem is, God is laying this peace out for us. There's a promise of peace, but we have to like step into the promise. And it's hard to step into the promise because we won't let him give us peace because we are too busy flipping out. Y'all ever flipped out at work? Oh, totally flipped out at work. I have flipped out at work so many times. I'm embarrassed. Especially a few years ago, I was like preaching every single weekend and I was the executive pastor of the church. I was working way too much, 7 days a week. Things were happening and somebody would tell me something and I would be like, oh my gosh, no, what did they do? Oh, how are we gonna fix that? Oh my gosh, it's gonna cost so much money. Why? And I would completely flip out. But here's the thing. When we are flipped out, we're sheep. We have a flock mentality. We don't like to flip out alone. We go Jerry Maguire on them. Who's coming with me? No. Who's coming with me? Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark, come with me. Pastor Mark, here's the deal. You know, when they came to the office and they said what happened, I don't know what we're going to do about what happened. So I just think that we have these problems. And so I'm just flipped out about it. And I think, no, flip. And I think we should all be upset and we should all be so angry right now. Like, what are we going to do? Are you not free? I'm freaked out. How are we going to? Oh, man. Did Pastor Mark do such a great job? Thank you, Pastor Mark. Great. So here's the deal. Sheep literally get flipped over. A lot of the times they get flipped over because their hair gets too long. They start growing wool. Here's a fun fact. Once a sheep starts growing wool, it never stops. It keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. It gets super heavy. And if they're not in the proximity of a shepherd or someone who can help them, if people keep being online at church and never, ever, ever make the trip and they come to church, if people sneak in and out of church and they don't get in a connect group and get people around them that can help cut off some of the things that we're carrying around with us that are so heavy, we end up flipping over. Actually, I brought a video of a sheep that was all flipped out. We end up flipping over, and here's the funny thing about sheep when they're flipped over. They literally cannot get off of their own back by themselves. They need a shepherd to come help them. That's why I'm here today. And the people at Ferguson Flores are like, how many times is Pastor Nicole going to lay down during the message? She must be tired. She takes that lie down in green pasture seriously. She's not in a green pasture. She's on a platform. Nap time is over. Ask Ashton. Get off your NAP. Now, he wants us to lay down in green pastures, but not because we're flipped out, but because we don't have to be too busy. We don't have to do it ourselves. We don't have to fix our own problems. We can go where he leads us, and we can do what he can help us with because we allow, we let people take our peace. So PD and I went on a vacation. It was probably 8-9 years ago, and we went to Mexico to this all-inclusive. It was turquoise waters. It was white sand beach. It was a beautiful pool. It was an all-inclusive. Everything was paid for. It was my scantily clad man. Yes, he is right now at the Ferguson Florissant campus. Baby, I am dreaming in you. Oh, you are so cute. I love my swim you. I remember you in that swimsuit, and I'm going to come see you later. Just saying. Just saying. And I thought, this is the dream. But we realized that the thing that comes with an all-inclusive resort is free drinks. And about 4 o'clock, the people there had drank all of them. They got drunk, they got loud, especially this one guy. He was already kind of big. He already kind of thought a lot of himself. He already thought he was kind of the coolest thing on the planet. And the drunker he got, the louder he got, the more belligerent he got, the fouler his mouth, the ruder he got. And he was taking my piece, one piece at a time. And the thing that really put me over the edge was when he started being super rude to the hotel staff. And I'm like, that's enough. That boy needs a mama. And I am a mama. I'm a spiritual mama. I can handle him. Pastor David, I'm going to go handle him right now. And my husband would not let me. How many of you know that was the right decision? If I had gone and confronted the drunk guy, it would have probably not been peaceful. And in John 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. Jesus is saying this. He says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. And he says, do not let, allow your heart to be troubled. So here's kind of a hard thing to sit here, and that is the drunk guy at the pool in Mexico, he didn't take my peace. I gave it to him. And here's the thing about your kids at your house when they're noisy and they're sloppy and they're mean. They didn't take your peace. You gave it to them. And the people at your office that are talking behind your back and they really deserve a slam back, they didn't take your peace, you gave it to them. Your husband, your wife, they're acting all crazy, they didn't take your peace. Come on, I want to hear you. You gave it to them. I know it's a hard truth, but they didn't take it. We let them. We let them take it away from us. In Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord, he's going to fight for you. So you should hold your peace. Actually, it looks a little more like this. You should hold your peace and remain at rest. Now, even when some people are really loud, like the drunk guy in the pool in Mexico, you do not want to hold your peace because you need to tell that by taking NAP. The Bible says that we need to hold our peace. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, hold your peace. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. You can't be starting fights like that. Going to people, hold your peace. No, no, no. And I know I told you to say that, but we have to hold our peace. So we have to, number one, let peace. Number two is seek and pursue. Everybody say seek and pursue. Seek and pursue. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads. He leads. Here's the thing about being led. A lot of us, we need to know which way to go. We need to know what to do. Do we take the job? Do we not take the job? Do we get married? Do we not get married? Do we date them? Do we not date them? Do we start the business? Do we not start the business? We need to know which way to go. How many of you need to know about a decision? Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, here's God. Jesus is in the situation. We're like, we know Jesus. We're supposed to follow Jesus. But a lot of us are like, hey, Jesus, I'm supposed to be following you, but which way did you go? I need to know which way you went. And here's what it says in 1 Peter 3, verse 11. It says, turn from evil and do good. We must seek peace and pursue it. So Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is always doing things, but we gotta seek him. We gotta look for him so that we can find him. Because here's what happens. The enemy, he will come up with all kinds of doubts, all kinds of distractions, all kinds of crazy stuff going on in our life. He's going to tell you, you're never going to make it. You're not going to start the business. The finances are going to take you down. Your spouse is probably going to leave you. You're probably making a wrong choice. Why did you move your family all the way here? You're never going to be make it. That person went to heaven. You're done. You're over. You're last year's news. And then there's this tug of war going on in your brain because the Holy Spirit of God is on the other side going, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm for you. I have never failed you, and I'm not going to start now. I am not going to mortgage my reputation on letting you down. I am healing. I am health. I am prosperity. I am wholeness. I am everything right here, and I am for you. And we're in the middle going, I don't know which way to go. So this is just a sidebar, just for the late crowd. How many of you are in the middle of making a decision? Say out loud, me. Here's how you make a decision. The Bible says, be led forth with peace. It said our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It doesn't say that you need to know that everything's going to be okay or you should be fearless, just that you should fear less. And you take a step and you see if you have the peace of God on the inside of you, even though the circumstances look a little crazy. And when you have the peace of God, you step out in faith, and then you take that next step and you check for peace. I know you want to start the business, but I didn't say follow your desire. I said follow peace. Does that help you with your decision? Everybody say follow peace. Follow peace and pursue it. Because as the enemy's trying to distract you, and he will, he's going to try and get you out of the will of God easy. And as sheep, because sheep have this flock mentality. Sheep, they want to be together. We want to just cuddle each other. We're like, I want to be around the other sheep. I want to be with the other sheep. I want to follow the sheep. I'm in the sheep fold. I mean, I'm at church. I'm even on a servant team. I'm in peace. I'm on a connect group because I know what it does for my life. I'm a good sheep. I'm a good sheep. But the problem is I brought a video. This girl was just minding her own business, going jogging. And as she's jogging down the road, all of a sudden these sheep start following her out of nowhere. And as she's going, she finally calls her friends like, I don't know what to do. What should I do? I don't know where their shepherd is. They won't stop following me. Her friend's like, you can't stay in the middle of the woods. You just got to get out of the woods. And you can see even the guys coming from the side. They're like, I know. He saw his friends. They're like, which way are we going? I want to go too. This is why, like I said before, that connect group is so important. You can't be asking crazy people who haven't gone as far as you have gone in life what to do. You don't want to be in the fold with them, living how they're living, doing what they're doing. You got to be like, I got to get out of here. Y'all making me crazy. I need to live where God wants me to live. You need to surround yourself with the right people. So if you have the right people around you, I had a lady come up and talk to me. And she said, hey, I need some help. I was part of this reality TV show. They kind of ruined my reputation. I don't know what to do. They're kind of coming after me. I'm really freaked out. I'm going into pieces. And this is when I had to stop her. She said these words. I can't imagine my life any other way than it is right now. I'm just broken. And I said, that's where I have to stop you. That's where we can start to help you. If you can't imagine your life any other way, that's where we start. We got to start imagining our life the way God provided it. We have to start imagining the green pastures. We have to start imagining the still waters. We have to start imagining that God is bigger than our problem. We have to start imagining that He is strong and mighty and willing and able. We have to start imagining that God is not going to be trumped by some little person talking bad behind your back. We have to imagine that He still has peace and joy and prosperity for us. We have to imagine that God's future is bigger than our past. Can anybody imagine that big? Can I get a good amen? We got to imagine, because it says He's going to make us lie down. He leads us beside still waters. We lie down in green pasture. He leads. We follow where? Still waters. Why still waters? Well, it's the funny thing about sheep, especially when their wool is all grown. This dude's like, I don't know what this lady's going to do. She tried to kiss me. I'm married. When the wool gets long around their feet, if they get into running waters, and the water is running, what's running through your mind right now? What thoughts are running by? Those things are going by, and you're nervous, and you're scared, and it just goes, what are you going to do? And then that's going to happen, and then you're going to be worse. And it starts doing a Fergie, running, running, and 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 running. Black eyed peas are all up in your head, it's all running, you don't know what to do. The sheep step into the water, the wool gets heavy. The sheep gets swept away, and there's no more sheep. So God says, I'm not going to lead you by something and put you in something that's going to sweep you away. He says, I'm going to lead you by a still water. I'm going to let it refresh you. I'm going to let it hold you. Now, He's going to lead us behind the still water, but He doesn't promise that there will never be a storm. Because, see, there's something that happened, and it was so bad. In Mark 4. I know that was a really cheesy joke, wasn't it? I know, you're like, that was so bad, I want an NAP. So in Mark 4, the disciples, Jesus, had a really hard day. Jesus preached all day. They've been managing all these people. They finally get away. They got to travel all night. Jesus is like, I'm tired. I'm going to lay down in the boat. I've been speaking all day. So the disciples are like, okay, we'll go across. All sounds good. Until out of nowhere, this storm comes up. The waves get really big. They get so big, they literally think the boat is going to capsize and they're going to die. So they go downstairs. They wake up Jesus. And Jesus goes to the top of the boat. And He's like, okay, there's this promise in Psalm 23. I'm going to make them lay down in green pastures. I'm going to lead them beside still waters. I'm going to give them peace. So He walks out. He takes authority and He says three words. Peace be still. He takes the crazy waters and He commands them. He takes authority over them to be still. And then He turns to the disciples to say, oh, baby, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm so sorry you were nervous and scared. Is that what the scripture says? No. He turns to them and says, why were you so fearful? How don't you have any faith? And I read that and I'm like, Jesus, you're harsh. Like, really, that was not nice. Except for the very next sentence says, and the disciples were exceedingly fearful. I'm like, what do you know? The shepherd knows the sheep. He knows how to call us out, to make us lie down in the green pastures. He has to confront us with what we're doing wrong. And He has to say, hey, look, I have modeled for you so many times to take authority over the situation. And here's the amazing thing about Jesus. He says that we are seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. It says that we have the authority to use the name of Jesus, declare the promises that are in the Bible. So if Jesus said, peace be still, come on somebody, we have the authority to get up there and look the devil right in the eye and say, I'm not afraid of you today, and I'm not gonna be afraid of you tomorrow, because Jesus said I could say, peace be still, get out of here. In Jesus' name. And when that happens, the devil has to stop. He can't get after us. We have to seek peace. Everybody say, seek peace,
seek peace.
And pursue peace. So we got to let peace. We got to seek and pursue peace. What's the next thing? Well, the next thing is in Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, present your requests. Present your requests. If you're a note taker, write this down. A problem that's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about.
Come on.
No, don't worry about it if you can't pray about it. But you might be nervous like I was. when I wrote the book High God in 2017, High God, It's Me Again, How to Talk to God. We don't know how to talk to God because, like, I was nervous about stuff. Like, God, how do I talk to you about stuff that I am embarrassed about and I am ashamed about? And, like, the fact that I want to kill my kids and my husband and just replace them with new ones sometimes. Like, how do I say that out loud to you? And the things that I've failed over and over again, I know you know about them, but I really don't want to talk about them with you. I had these insecurities and these, like, unsureties that I didn't know how to approach God with. So I didn't. And here's the thing. The enemy does not want you to talk to God. Because when you talk to God, that's where you find your power. I want you to hear me again. When you talk to God, that's where you find your power. If he can keep you away from talking to God. So I'm not up here from the position of, hey, I have it all together. Be like me. I wrote the book on prayer. No, y'all. Sometimes my prayers are like, okay, God, like, so far today, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't been greedy. I haven't been nasty. I haven't been selfish. I've actually been really good today, and I'm really excited about it. The thing that I have going on is, like, in 2 minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. So if you could just help me and grace me and bring me your peace. The thing I want you to get over is I want you to get over being scared to present your request to God. And now, I'm not as good as I want to be, but I'm better than I used to be. Because this week, I had a friend call me and say, I need prayer right now. And I was in my natural habitat. I was shopping in Nordstrom Rack. And she was like, I need you to pray. I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm not going to be like, I'll pray for your sister, see you, bye, and hang up. I said, I'm going to pray right now, and everybody in Nordstrom Rack is about to get saved. Are you good with that? She's like, let's do it. I said, okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against my friend is going to prosper, and every tongue that rises up against her is going to be cut off and shown to be in a wrong. I declare that when a man's ways please the Lord, you make his enemies to be at peace with him. I declare that you are not the God who fails. You are the God who succeeds. I declare that our tomorrow looks better than our yesterday. I declare that our past does not define our future. It prepares us for our future. I declare that you are the God who sees and makes a way where there is no way. I declare peace, faith, and prosperity over her in the name of Jesus. Amen. People in Nordstrom like, wow, she's having a day. I didn't care because now I present my requests. And how many of you felt peace come in that moment? So number one, let peace. Number one, seek and pursue peace. Number three, present your requests. How does that tie into Psalm 23? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, got to follow him, beside still waters. He restores my soul. Y'all, the shepherd, he is working hard on our behalf. And our soul is up for grabs between the enemy and God. And we have to decide who's going to have access to it. But I want to let you know, you serve a shepherd. I have a video of a guy. He is a shepherd. He is willing to climb a cliff. You can put that up there with no audio. This shepherd is willing to climb this cliff. No, wrong video. Oh, not that one. Just so you know, the sheep are fine at the end. They just walk away. That's not the video. There's a video of a guy, and he goes up on this cliff. This cliff is so steep. It is literally 50, 100 feet down, and he's holding onto this fence and climbing higher and higher, and the people are way down there, and there's this sheep stuck in the fence. He pulls the sheep out of the fence, and you know what the sheep does when he saves his life? He kicks the shepherd, and the shepherd drops him. And he looks down, he watches the sheep roll down the hill and get on his feet and walk away. You see, the shepherd knew the whole time that that sheep would survive the fall, but he still risked his life to be with him in the battle. I want to let you know he's going to restore your soul. You see, Philippians 4:6 says to present your requests and make them known unto God. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends everything that we can understand, it's going to guard our heart and it's going to guard our mind in Christ Jesus. So the last thing is, as we get ready to close, because I only have 36 seconds left, I just thought all campuses, I thought you listened faster than this. But the fourth thing is put it into practice. You got to put it into practice. How do we do that? Well, I don't lose my peace as much as I used to. Like the other night, I was making dinner, and I was like, oh, man, I want some peace and quiet during dinner. So I told David, hey, man, David, so my cute thing, he's sitting in Ferguson, Florida right now. Oh, baby, I love you. I'll see you soon. He said, my cute thing, is there any way you could give me some peace and quiet during dinner? I just want to prepare by myself. He's like, good, I got you. Leaves the room. Comes back 2 minutes later with a step stool, starts setting it up in the kitchen while I'm trying to work. I'm like, babe, this is kind of what I was talking about. And he's like, oh, no, babe, I got you. I'm just getting the smoke detector batteries, and I'm going to take the batteries out for you. You know, he's actually got a point, because the best dinner I make is reservations. It just is what it is. You got to live with it. You got to roll with it. We take gift cards for our birthday just so we can eat. Just saying. So you can lose your peace. You can let that peace go because they're not taking it. You can let your peace go or you can practice. Everybody say practice. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice and the peace of God will be with you. So there's one more story I want to tell you is I had a friend, she called me and I was in the middle of having a day with hair on it, and by that I mean I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I stepped in dog poo on my way to the bathroom. I was running late anyway. My shirt was in the washing machine. It didn't get put in the dryer, so I didn't have a shirt to wear with my outfit. Traffic was bad. I was late to work. Has anybody had a day like this? Say me too. Yeah, and so I was just big mad all day, and I got a phone call, and my friend is like, oh my gosh, it's the best day ever, and I'm like, tell me about it, because like I need some good news, and she's like, okay, so I'm in the chemo ward. I'm like, best day ever in the chemo ward. I'm already like, what did you say to me? Like still kind of in my little sassy head, like, what did you just say to me? She's like, I'm in the chemo ward, and my friend Angel, she has been getting chemo for a year, and today she was declared cancer-free, and Nicole, Angel just rang the bell. It's the best day ever. She had peace in the chemo ward while she was still getting chemo, and I was rocked by stepping in dog poo and being late for work. Everybody say practice. Practice. Say practice makes perfect. One more story? Okay, one more story. The president of a company called me this week, and they did something wrong. And he was sad. He was shocked. He was rocked. He actually, his eyes were welling up with tears. He was telling me about it. He says, our reputation's going to be ruined. I don't know what to do. And I said, slow down. Did you mean to do this? No. How's your heart? Are you willing to fix it? Yes. So you're working on fixing it. Absolutely. Okay. Do you think God would be proud of the fact that you're fixing it and you're owning up to it? Yes. I said, let me ask you a question. You built this big business. Everything's been great. Everything's been awesome till this point. Yes. So this is your first real big obstacle. Yes. I said, oh, this is your first chance to actually step out of the boat and walk on water. It's your time to prove that you can practice walking by faith. And I think some of y'all might be in that same practice place. You might be going through something right now, and that's who I want to pray for right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if your peace has been taken, we let it go, and you're hurting right now, you're trying to make a decision, you need peace. Would you lift your hand for me? Almost everybody here at Sunset Hills, lots of people at Ferguson, Florissant, and I see you. I want to pray over you right now. Father God, you are the God of peace. You are the God of prosperity. You are the God of green pastures. You are the God that leads us. You are the God that never forsakes us. You are the God who never lets us go. You are the God whose promise never changes. You are the God who never changes his mind about us because you have envisioned our future and you have purposed us for it. And it doesn't matter what happens to us and it doesn't matter what happens because of us. You are here, you are able, you are willing, and you are leading us. So God, help us to follow you with peace. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to come in waves over them in peace right now. Where waves of trouble and anxiousness would come, I feel weights being lifted. I feel people breathing in peace and their entire state changing because you are a God who gives peace when we don't even understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today? Oh, thank you guys, you're so precious. Y'all, there's another story, somebody who practiced some peace in a chemo ward. And you're not going to believe Valerie's story and what a great God of miracles we serve. Check this out.